Hello and welcome to the Unmissables podcast, a weekly look through the world of television and popular culture, hosted by me, Boyd Hilton. It's a podcast series. It's not a podcast investigative series. Mm-hmm. It's just a podcast series. No, you don't have to follow it week by week.
No. Oh, God, no.
No investigation needed.
No, you've got things to do.
Yeah. This is actually our 70th. It's our 70th birthday.
Happy 70th.
Yeah, happy 70th, everyone.
What's the gem that you get for 70?
I'm going to say ruby. Oh, that's 40.
Say it.
I'm going to say diamond.
I mean, it's not true, but say it.
Opal?
I think diamond is 75th.
Okay. I don't know. These anyway. Voices you can hear aren't just random people who've swanned into this...
Talk gems.
I was going to call it a studio. It's just a room. They are Stephanie Celan.
Howdy.
And Kay Ribeiro.
Hello.
And I'm Boyd Hilton. Did I say that already?
Yes, yeah, you said it.
Everyone knows who you are. Steady. You're famous.
Today, in the meat, in the main chunky morsels of meat of television that we review, which is what we do every week, we've got the brand new one from the huge stable of Mr. Ryan Murphy of Glee, American Horror Story, American Crime Story, and what was the other one? Feud fame.
Oh, yeah.
I love Feud.
I'm saying he is, with Shonda Rhimes, the biggest, most powerful person in television.
Mm, I would agree.
Like, if you excuse the heads of networks and stuff like that.
Shonda Rhimes.
I said with Shonda Rhimes.
With Shonda Rhimes.
So the two of them are the gargantuan...
They're the godmother and godfather of TV.
Showrunners, as they're called in America. And funnily enough, her new show, which is called For the People, starts on the new channel Sky Witness. And we would have reviewed that last week, but we couldn't get to see it in time.
It was unavailable to us.
I don't like to blame Sky, but it's Sky's fault.
Yeah.
Oh,
whereas
Sky.
This week, we did get to see 911. Well, most of it.
Okay.
Steph, how much did you see of it?
I saw 16 minutes of it.
Transparent.
It's a 45-minute show.
Let's always be transparent.
Always be transparent.
I've been very busy.
Kay and I have seen the whole of the first episode. And
just quickly, let's go. Breaking news, John's just told us that the 70th anniversary is actually platinum.
Wow.
I think platinum.
I think you'll agree that was worth interrupting for.
Very good.
That was worth an interruption.
Anyway, the bottom line is we're reviewing 911, the new series from Ryan Murphy, and we're also reviewing Fake or Fortune is back. I'm just going to leave it there. And Jamie Oliver, cooks in Italy. He cooks Italy. I mean, he doesn't literally cook the whole of Italy.
No,
that
but he
would
does
be
cook
awful.
Bits of
That's
Italy.
Grammatically incorrect.
But he goes to Italy and he cooks stuff and he watches stuff being cooked. We'll review his new series on Channel 4 as well. Before all of that, in traditional form, Steph would like to talk us through her quasi-millisecond by millisecond viewing schedule over the last 7 days.
We've had a second AGM, people, and annual general meeting this lunchtime. And I am going to be cutting things down. And I've promised that I'm only going to do 3, okay?
But...
this is a new format point.
But listen, no, but you said that you're going to make it even better on social media. You're going to tweet a list, aren't you?
I am going to tweet
well,
a list.
Well, you said that.
Extensive...
I don't know. That was your
Steph
idea.
Agreed.
Did Steph actually agree? Okay, fine.
I've got lots of good things this week. Okay.
More than 3.
There are more than 3, but only one more than 3, which is, as you know, 4. okay. Channel 4.
Oh, I'm already
this
excited.
Is now on all 4, okay?
Ooh.
Prison. Have you watched it? 2-parter.
No.
Now, you know...
Is that the one with the tattoo on the face?
No, Kay, for God's sake.
God.
This happened last week. I've got deja vu.
She keeps talking about this show. I mean, she should just look up the name of that show. It's not this show. Okay. Now, as you know, I like to think of myself as... a slight expert in crime law-breaking shows, okay?
Law-breaking shows?
Yeah.
You're
24
the
Hours in Police Custody, law-breaking show.
Okay.
Okay, yeah. You stand corrected. Now, I would just like to say that this 2-part series is one of the best I have ever seen.
Wow.
I'll tell you for why. The filmmakers have got unprecedented access to Durham Prison, okay?
Durham
and when
makes
I say
a good
unprecedented,
one.
What they've been able to do is connect with the prisoners and actually see things that are going on that you think, how can they actually be talking about this? How can they be showing this stuff without these prisoners getting in trouble? I'm talking about putting miniature phones up people's bottoms. That's what I'm getting down to.
Can you do it handspan?
It's like that big.
How does that even work?
Listen, people are making phones like this now. So the things that people put up to their bottoms when they go back into prison for their reoffend, when they're reoffending.
Oh my God, that, do you know what that brings a new meaning to? Butt dialing.
Sometimes not even when they go into prison, just for the sheer hell of it.
Yeah, but this very specifically is for prison. So this is like an index. The first one is talking about drugs. Because there's a huge problem in prison. Do you know that like 90% of the people that are reoffending in prison now basically are in there for drug offences? Yeah. Not robberies. It's not all other types of crime. Anyway, spice is a big problem, which is a synthetic form of cannabis for those of you who don't know. And it puts you in some kind of
zombie-like state, right?
Zombie-like state. Oh my God. This they've managed to film people who have been put on spice. I mean, honestly, it's just... It's really, really tough going to watch. The second one is about mental health, which is really horrible. Kay is laughing.
She is laughing. I don't like to tell tales out of school, but Kay's laughing.
She is laughing. Sorry,
I don't know if she's laughing at the show.
No.
I think she's laughing at my enthusiasm.
Spice, the idea, is it the
no,
word?
It wasn't. I'm going to be honest. It's puerile. I couldn't get beyond the sticking the phone up the bum.
Well, you won't believe to that.
Well, you won't believe it when they say to one of the guys, okay, what kind of stuff do you find up people's bottoms? And he said, the other day, someone took a 9-inch knife out of his bum.
Oh, no.
That's and I'm silly. Not just talking just
say
a 9-inch
no
knife.
Kids,
they
if you're
can
listening,
sometimes
don't
get
do that.
A couple of phones up there and a 9-inch knife.
Two phones and a knife.
I'm telling you.
In fact, that should be commended in a way. Do you know what I mean?
Before you go into prison, you have to sit on this chair called the boss chair, which is detects
like
all the metal things. Oh, and then they also like put a metal detector. And you're not allowed into the prison because people are bringing drugs into prison.
Do you know what? That is a reason not to commit crime in itself to go on that seat.
People go in there with a certain amount of money. They make 10 times the amount by selling drugs in prison. Anyway, the second episode, which is about mental health, is... Oh, very, very upsetting. But again, unbelievable. There is a brilliant part in it where the filmmaker Paddy, who's connected with all of these prisoners, and he says to one of them, "Oh, you're the head guy, the head drugs guy." And somebody told me because you're down in isolation because of something I filmed about your drug making that you said you were gonna pour hot boiling water over me, and I wouldn't really like that. And it's an amazing minute, and the amazing moment. This guy goes, No, I wasn't going to do that. And you think you were going to do it. You were going to throw boiling water.
Oh my God, have we made contact with this guy since? Has he had boiling water poured?
No, he's fine. No, he's the filmmaker.
Yeah, no, but what's his situation
I think
now?
He's fine. I mean,
okay,
it's
cool. Get in touch.
Anyway, please do watch. There's an hour long. It's such an insight. I can't... It's wonderful. It's really, really good. It's hard.
That sounds good.
Really
I'm gonna
good.
Check it out. What is it for?
It does sound
all
like
four.
It does sound like one of the best law-breaking shows of recent times.
As I Build It, Boyd, it is one of the greatest law-breaking programs of all time. Okay, Beyond Reasonable Doubt, as you know,
sounds
is a
like
podcast.
Another law-breaking.
I have mentioned many times as an accompanying podcast to The Staircase. So Beyond Reasonable Doubt came out, which is a story of Michael Peterson, who may or may not allegedly, I believe, pushed his wife down the stairs.
Do you know what? John's tutorials are really paying off.
Yeah.
His legal advice.
I believe that Michael Peterson may have pushed his wife down the stairs and caused the end of her life.
Maybe.
Other people don't believe that. However, The Staircase, which, as you know, is an old, one of the original and best crime shows.
As reviewed on this show, didn't we?
Reviewed on the Netflix now. It's got three new episodes.
As reviewed on
the
show?
Yeah, as reviewed on the show. Now, this is the podcast that was from the back of last year.
Yes. BBC.
Anyway, the BBC podcast.
And they're still trailing it now saying we exposed this case as if the case was in fact it was exposed by it.
I'll hear nothing against it because they've added two new episodes.
I know.
What do you mean you know?
I'm aware of it. They plug in the hell of it. I've listened to Five
do you know
Lives.
Why? You listened to them?
No.
Well, they've got an interview with Jean-Javier Lestrade, the filmmaker. Mm. Now, they've got it through some kind of weird way because the BBC arts correspondent managed to get an interview with him because he didn't want to have an interview with the Beyond Reasonable Doubt people, but they've managed to air it because it's across the BBC. It's fascinating.
Is he annoyed with the Beyond Reasonable Doubt people because they keep saying on the trailer for On Five Live that they exposed this whole story when in fact it was exposed by him, the director.
It probably is.
I mean, that's got smart. Yeah. That's going to be irritating.
But it's worth listening to these two episodes for that interview. It's absolutely brilliant.
You know, I went to the screening at BAFTA where he was interviewed as well, just saying.
Yeah, I know, and you've talked extensively about that. Okay. And now it's my time to talk about extensively about the Beyond Reasonable Doubt two things.
It sounds
good. I listen to everything you say. Wow. Right, okay. Now, I started to watch a little fun show, okay, also on Channel 4 called Community.
Oh, that sounds fun.
It's on Channel 4 at the moment.
What's it about?
Yeah, it's on Channel 4 box sets. It's called Our Friend Donald.
On All 4, you mean? On All 4 box sets.
Did I say that? No, I didn't, did I?
No.
Yeah. It's on all four.
I don't think
sets.
It's running on actual Channel 4. Just
no, no, because it's finished.
There's yeah, only yeah, it finished 8 years ago.
There's
yeah.
only three series of it. So it's Donald Glover when he was really young. It's just like a funny half-hour show. And it's Joe McHale. And he it's all about a group of people who go back to community
Chevy
college.
Chase.
Chevy Chase. Can't remember what the girl's name in it. Oh, Alison Brie.
Yes.
And it's just a fun little ensemble comedy piece about what it's like in community college. And I'm really enjoying it.
There were six seasons, just to say.
Oh, I thought there were only three.
No, no, no. Yeah.
Okay, there's only three on all four.
Oh, okay.
Is it 1, 2, 3 or 4, 5, 6?
1, 2, 3, okay. I believe.
That's lucky.
Maybe they'll put 4, 5, and 6 on soon.
Maybe they'll listen
I'm only
to this
halfway
and take
through
action.
One.
Just throwing out there.
Okay, and then... As we all know, that was three, and I did say four, and this is just my final one.
Is this your can I just say?
This is my Unless can
get,
I just say.
You get a format point. We've officially also decided in our discussions, behind the scenes discussions, that Steph, because sometimes we'll go do 7 or 8 in this
No, look, not going to do it anymore, though.
But now, going forward, it's going to be three generally, but you're allowed an extra one in a kind of mini
can I just say
section.
Yeah. This is Brevity is my middle name.
This is the... Can I just say brevity section?
And can I just say, Robin Williams, my mind. Did you guys watch
this? I did. I'm glad you mentioned it because I completely forgot to mention that. Well done.
This is on Sky. Wow. Okay, so it's Robin Williams' ex-wife and lots of people who knew Robin Williams literally talking about really what it was like to be inside the mind of Robin Williams, what he was thinking, what he was like when he was at college. It's deeply, deeply touching and... heartwarming, and it really made me cry.
That's Robin Williams, just to make it clear.
Oh yeah, not
the
Robin
legendary
of Mork and Mindy.
Actor,
yeah.
Who sadly took his own life a couple of years ago.
Rather than
Robbie Williams.
Robbie Williams.
The popular
still
pop
very much
star.
Alive and with us.
Yeah.
Very much.
The new X Factor judge, Robbie Williams.
Yeah.
Give it a watch, but
it is great.
Bring the tissues. Yeah, it's just, but also just for the old footage. And do you know what? Totally forgot how much I loved Mork and Mindy. I used to watch that as a child.
Yeah. Love Mork and Mindy.
And it's so interesting to hear people talking about, because there's that brilliant bit in it where they say that basically Robin Williams changed the face of how they filmed sitcoms purely because they went from three static cameras to introducing a fourth camera, which was a handheld camera, because he ran around so much and he was constantly improvising.
Full of
energy. Yeah. Because he was just so talented.
Him and his maverick
ways.
Because
they were missing things that he'd do. And the directors would say, did you get that? Did you get that? And I'm like, no, because he wasn't on his mark. Just really...
And legends course, don't have marks.
No.
Steph, that was a great 3+, can I just say?
Thanks, honey.
You can just say whatever the hell you like, Kay.
Okay, so I'm going to surprise you with this first one, because as you know, I hate musicals. I hate them with a passion.
I can't. It really annoys me when you guys say you hate musicals.
Because why sing something when you can say it? That's my feeling
because
about it.
Because singing things is really fun.
Not when you say sing
and
everything.
And it makes you jaunty.
No. I can live without jaunt. But what I did do is I took my nieces to see Mamma Mia, Here We Go Again. Now, just to give you some background to this, I watched the first one many years ago when it came out and hated it. Mm-hmm. They're on school holidays trying to be a good aunt. I thought, I'll take you there. Mm-hmm. I really liked it.
What did you like most about it? The singing?
I mean, look, did I come out of the cinema singing the tunes? Feeling jaunty?
Yeah.
Did I come out with a beaming smile on my face? Yes, I did. It was really, really good. Like, I mean, Steph, you would love it anyway because you love musicals.
I love musicals.
Have you not seen it yet?
No, I haven't.
Wow.
It's not been made available to me in at home cinema.
I see.
So the story is Sophie from the original is reopening her mum Donna's hotel. Donna is R.I.P., played by Meryl Streep, who is very much alive.
Yeah, she is not
She's
R.I.P.
alive, like Robbie Williams. Mm. And the she's reopening it, and she asks all the dads to come back for the reopening, and it's whether they'll come or not, so element of jeopardy. Will they be there on the island?
Yes, they will.
Boyd.
No spoilers,
Boyd.
You don't know that. One of them's dead.
Do you want to talk about Father Christmas next?
I haven't seen it.
How many other things are you going to ruin?
You're out of order, Boyd.
I'm just guessing.
Step down. And then also you've got the young Donna played by Lily James. So you get flashbacks to her life and her... Flashbacks from her time when she left university and deciding to go to Greece, and then her three romances with three
sexy flashbacks.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. So what I loved about this was I always think of Lily James as being quite, she's the period drama queen, right? So she always plays these meek and mild mannered buttoned up characters, and you know, just she always does the same thing. Ooh. This, no, it's true. I think people would, when you think of Lily James, either that or Cinderella,
you think period drama.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. This, she's like fun, she's feisty, sexy, like she's really good. She's really good. And also, of course, oh, I need to give a shout out to Christine Baranski and Julie Walters, because they are really great. But of course, the real credit has to go to Cher.
Oh. No, I thought you were going to say...
What about Amanda Seyfried or is Dominic Cooper in this one?
No, yeah, they're both in it. No. But Cher is fantastic in it. Honestly, she is so good at the end. What? When she comes
Stop
on and she sings
Cher.
Fernando, it is a joy to behold. And it just fills you... Like this, what the whole
Can
thing
you
is
hear
joyful.
The drums, Fernando?
It's like having her in the room. It is good. So I would recommend seeing that.
I love a bit of ABBA.
Who you should have mentioned, Kay, is Hugh Skinner. The gloriously funny
from Outnumbered.
No, from W1A. He's the
dweeby, oh,
yes,
God, yes.
Who plays the
yes,
young?
Yes, yes,
one of the young Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah,
who sings Waterloo. I only know this because he's a lovely guy and I know him in real life, IRL, and he's brilliant. And this is a huge thing. He's
no, he
and
was great.
Everyone's all the reviews are saying he stole the whole thing because he's so brilliant in that scene.
I don't think
yes.
he stole
You're
it more
saying
than
that
Cher.
All his friends.
Yes.
Yeah, Boyd, I'm not being funny. I don't think he
I
was
think
better
you'll
than
find
Cher.
He's
you're saying he's
Cher.
Better than
yes,
Cher.
Yes, I'm saying he's better than
is
Cher.
Is that what you're
yes,
saying
I'm
to
saying
me?
God, next you're going to be saying you're better than Cher.
Are you better than Cher?
But I'm not in the film, so there's no way of knowing. But he is in the film and he's better than Cher.
This is the moment we realize that Boyd is a ridiculous human being. Okay, I'm moving on now to the affair. So I won't go too much into it because obviously we reviewed it on this show. But
some noises there. From
well, I tell you why, because as Kay was probably about to reveal, Kay and I had a very intense text conversation about a particular episode on a Saturday morning, was it?
Yeah, it was episode 4 of The Affair. So last time we discussed it, which is when it first started, I think I had said something like, you know, season 3 is a bit of dip for me. I didn't, you know, I think it was off the boil.
A bit of dip?
It's a bit of a dip.
Free bit of dip.
And this is a total return to form. And episode 4 and 5 are fantastic. So,
does it by any chance focus on the character play?
Okay. Hold on. If you are not aware and you're new to this podcast, there is an obsession that's been raging for years and years and years. And it is Kay's obsession with Pacey from Dawson's Creek.
Oh my God, I'm obsessed.
Also known as Joshua Jackson, the actor who is now single. And Kay is hoping to
wed. No, he's not. I've done some research. Oh, but anyway, he's now playing Cole in the show.
So this episode focuses on Cole, does it?
Episode 4 does, right? And that's great because he goes on this like journey to... His mum tells him that basically the dad went off for a period of time just on his own. So he goes to find out, you know, where he went, what he did, and have his own kind of journey. Yeah.
Right.
And have a journey of self-discovery himself. And it honestly, it is great. You agree, don't you, Steph?
Oh, it was the best episode.
The next day.
What, of all series?
I'll tell you what it is. The thing is, it's everything you want from that character.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's like if you could write the script yourself, everything you would want that character to do happens.
Okay. But
it's
like
incredibly
this.
Satisfying.
We I'm watched excited. It. He's so sexy in it. We watched it. We messaged repeatedly. The next day I came in feeling queasy and went home sick. And I can only put that down to love sickness. Yeah. Sorry. I'm love sick.
Boyd, it's a real problem.
It's a real problem.
I mean, you know,
the struggle
at least
is
you're aware of the problem. That's the main thing. You can deal with it.
But also, just to mention, episode 5, the following episode, which he's not in hardly at all, is also really, really good, isn't it? It's all around
Alison.
I think
all the episodes have been brilliant.
And Dominic West's character, I've forgotten his name now. What's his name?
Dominic
West's
character
is called
Noah.
Noah.
Collective brain.
Anyway, it's all about them.
Okay.
And it's really good. So, if you haven't started watching the new series, you haven't had a chance to get on it ASAP. And finally, the other thing, I'm just laughing because John Dan rather rudely is yawning.
Yeah, but it wasn't an audible yawn. Kay did it. Did you hear Kay's gigantic indoor, like it was an at-home yawn early today and the whole office looked at her.
Well, yeah. That's the next time I used to every day.
Like that.
As soon as I
like
cry,
a
I'm
tired
out.
Elephant.
That's what happens every time I say anything.
Like a tired elephant.
It
that is me.
Gigantic
crazy.
Yawn.
Listen, I'm just a tired Nelly.
She
I'm telling
you.
You
were using
asleep.
Your outside voice.
It's because I spent so much time thinking about old Pacey.
Oh.
All right, the other thing is Death in Paradise.
Oh,
so
Jolly Up.
Guys, no, not Jolly Up.
It's a classic ITV Pogs. Jolly Up. ITV,
someone's
isn't
going
it?
To Guadalupe.
Or
BBC
are they going
One,
to
Guadalupe?
Hold on a minute. or is it Guadalupe?
No, it's Guadalupe.
No, it's neither ITV nor is it Guadalupe. It's BBC. It's Guadalupe. And Kay's going there.
You're going to Guadalupe for that ITV show.
I won't be here. You'll have the fantastic John Dan in my place.
What a scandal.
No, it's not a scandal. It's hard work. I'm going there to go and interview the cast and to do a set visit.
Hard work by me to arrange it.
Oh, it's a classic.
And
Johnny
I'm going, the tourist board has taken us around to do a travel feature. And it's going to be really hard work. And I'll probably die of dehydration.
It's literally a junket.
Hold on a minute. How long are you going for?
It's a junket.
How long are you going for?
Oh, like a week or something.
Like, I'm not going for a week.
You're
anyway.
Going for a week.
But no. You know what? It's fine because
with
she is.
With the tourist board.
It's fine because she is working. So while, while in between watching.
On her tan, that's what she's working
in
on.
In between watching various people starring in Death in Paradise in Guadalupe, she's going to be writing previews and, you know, reading previews.
I will be. I'm a hard worker.
You're taking your laptop,
anyway,
I presume.
Yes, I am. So
are
anyway,
you?
I have watched. Like in the past, I've watched a few episodes.
She's taken a lot of bikinis is what she's taken.
But I caught up on series 7 because I hadn't seen all of it. And I have to say, I really... Do you know I've come a bit obsessed with it now?
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's very watchable.
It's so watchable. And the thing is...
It's like a travel show.
A lot of people say it's formulaic and stuff. And it is the same format. If you haven't watched it, there's an island, which fictional island called St. Marie. And there's always a murder every week on it, which is solved by the police officer in charge. This time it's Ardal O'Hanlon, played by... obviously the actor, and he plays
D.I.
Jack
guy?
Me. Yeah.
Oh, everyone gets their turn
Chris Marshall.
On the Sunny
they get three
Island, don't they?
Well, not everyone.
Well,
I mean, three actors so far.
Is it still got, what's his name from Red Dwarf in it? Cat. You know, the guy who's a cat in Red Dwarf.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think he is still in it.
I like him.
Do you know who's in it, though, who I'm a bit obsessed with from growing up? Don Warrington from Rising Damp.
From growing up? I thought growing up was the name of a show.
So did I.
From my growing up
From your
days.
Growing up.
No, I said from growing up.
Don Warrington
from Rising Damp.
Yeah,
he played Philip. He's amazing. I'm literally going to be a bit starstruck when I see him. So anyway,
So what work are you actually doing there?
As I said, interviewing people and doing
Which ones?
Visit and a travel piece. All of them.
Okay.
Okay,
just get off my back,
do you
guys.
You know what, it just sounds like a lot of fun.
Joshing, it is an officially sanctioned work trip to Guadalupe.
And you sanctioned this, did you?
I did.
Oh, great. Well, I really fancy going to Florida, so let's just see how that turns.
If you can find a hit TV show
don't be jealous.
Based in Florida,
Well, as long as you bring me back a nice present.
Okay, yeah, what do you want?
I would like a sea turtle.
Box set of Death in Paradise.
I do not want a box set of Death in Paradise. Yeah. I do not want to see everyone else having a jolly up. I do like it, yeah.
Oh, God, the location is beautiful. I can't wait to go there. Anyway.
Yeah, and swim in the ocean.
Guadalupe.
Guadalupe.
All right, so can we just nail this? So Steph genuinely thinks that Guadalupe is pronounced Guadalupe.
I just think in a musical it would definitely be called Guadalupe.
But we discussed this.
It sounds much more exciting.
If it was Mamma Mia, it would be... Guadalupe.
Where is Guadalupe? Very good.
Oh, God, John's got his hands in his head. Come on.
One more thing on Guadalupe. Where the F is
it's
it?
Caribbean.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the insular region of France, located in the Leeward Islands, part of the Les Antilles
in
the Caribbean.
Bonjour.
So it's actually French.
Yeah, French Polynesia. It's fine.
Great. Right.
Guadalupe.
Quickly, I
finished, by the way.
Thank you. Oh, I assumed you had.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Wait.
I watched the film Prayer Before Dawn. Now, funny enough, you're talking about crime things, prison-based crime things.
Yeah.
What was your phrase for it? Law-breaking shows. This is a law-breaking film, but you can actually watch it on your television set officially, legally.
What is it?
It's on Curzon Home Cinema. It came out in cinemas this week, and it's on Curzon Home Cinema. If you've got
please do not go into that.
And it's on
again.
iTunes, and it's
the Curzon Home Cinema app. Though you have to have the app, don't you, to be able to watch it?
It's not difficult to get the app.
No, but you know what? I was spending some time thinking about the Curzon Home Cinema app.
No.
And the reason that I think it's actually quite good is if you go to a Curzon Cinema, you're paying per person. But if you're having the app, you're just paying the one hit. And you can have as many people around as you want.
That's like anything.
So actually, it's fine.
And also, you can just get it on iTunes. Anyway, it is a film all about a real-life case of a boxer, a kind of British boxer who got in a bad way, got in with bad crowd.
What's it called?
And bad drugs. Prayer Before Dawn is the name of the film.
You didn't say that.
I did. I said it. I think because you were talking over me because you were so excited about the Curzon Home Cinema.
All right.
And it stars Joe Cole, who you will recognise from Peaky Blinders.
Oh.
And Skins.
He is such a talent.
So this is his star-making role.
Okay.
Charles Gant, our esteemed... Yes, Charles Gant, our esteemed film reviewer, gave it 5 whole stars in Heat Magazine.
From Chaz, that's
from
a big
Chaz,
deal.
From Chaz, that's a big deal. Thought, right, I've got to go and see this film. Then I'm cranking up my iTunes, checking out what's new.
It's only on there, isn't it?
Ooh. So I thought, oh, okay, I'm going to buy it. And I watched it. And it's incredible. It's really grueling and distressing. Oh, you always ask how much
yes,
it was.
Yes, because it's a service. But you listen,
you
just come,
pay for every
you come across.
Watch it?
No.
But boy, this is the thing. Is if you don't tell people how much it was, it's just like you've got this money fountain in your house that's just raining down on you.
It was
$6.99. It doesn't matter. That's you can
rent
it. It's not true.
You can rent it and buy it, and it's cheaper to rent. So rent is probably only like $3.99 or something. Anyway, that's not important.
We need to know. It is important.
If anyone goes to iTunes, they'll see how much it costs.
That was...
Literally through gritted teeth.
I know.
It is a very gruellingly realistic portrayal of this British guy ending up in this Thai jail, this famously horrendous Thai jail. And what the film very cleverly does is it doesn't give you the subtitles much of what the Thai people, the prison guards and the prisoners are saying to him. So you see it completely from his point of view. It's like, yeah, if you had arrived,
that's smart.
It's very clever. So some of the things they say, like really important things they say, for plot reasons, are given subtitles, but a lot of it isn't given subtitles. Mm. So they're just talking at him, and he's like, I don't understand what you're
saying.
Listen,
do you know what it is? Us Thai people, we don't like subtitles.
Right, exactly. Yeah. You are,
yeah, I am indeed half Thai.
It's 51%?
51% Thai.
So it's a classic prison drama, because it does all the things that, you know, a guy, it's horrendous stuff that he goes through.
Is there a phone up the bum?
There isn't a phone up the bum. There's all kinds of things he has to watch.
I bet there is somewhere.
It's some horrible stuff. It's not. It's an 18 certificate for a reason.
Ooh.
But it's also, he's so incredible in it that, you know, it's. I think, you know, in any, he'd definitely be up for BAFTAs and Oscars and stuff. But it's out now, so it's like, will people remember it in, you know, in a year's time when that
well, it's
those
our
things
job
come
to
up.
Make them
why,
remember
why do
it,
they do
boys?
That? It's strange, isn't it?
It's annoying, yeah. Mm. But it's brilliant. Anyway, it's a really good film if you can bear the grimness of it, and you'll know within about 5 minutes because it starts grim and it carries on being grim. And it's one of the most realistic boxing. The boxing scenes are unbelievable.
Who's the name of the real life guy?
The name of the real life guy is Billy Moore.
And it's a real story. And
yeah,
it's
it's it's dramatically licensed. Mm. But Billy Moore, they've had screenings where Billy Moore has been interviewed about, you know, asking him about how. But I think it's fairly.
What did he do to get in prison?
Can you watch?
Why was he in prison in the first place?
Drug issue. So drug dealing. Drug.
Well, we don't. We do not put up with the drugs in Thailand.
Just say no.
Secondly, I went to see the new TV BBC Two drama Black Earth Rising that I'm sure we'll review when it actually comes out in a few weeks' time.
It's
Michaela Cole of Chewing Gum fame, who's
absolute
legend and genius.
It's a flip flop,
and it's her
big
dramatic role. She's very famous for creating and writing her own sitcom, which is a brilliant show. We reviewed that. Did we review that? I think so.
Maybe.
I assume we review everything. This is her big. Intense, heavy drama. It's from the guy, Hugo Blick, who wrote and created The Honourable Woman. Did you see that? With Maggie Gyllenhaal?
No, I didn't.
It was great.
Dealt
with the Middle East politics and The Shadow Line, which is a brilliant thriller he created a few years
Where
ago.
Where can I see that Maggie Gyllenhaal thing?
On DVD, probably, or iTunes.
I don't have a DVD player.
It might be on Netflix. Check it out.
Okay.
Anyway, this is all about a mother and a daughter relationship. A white lawyer, very, very kind of successful rich white lawyer, adopts this young black girl who's a victim of the Rwandan genocide back in the mid-90s. And it's all about this huge conflict they have when a new case comes up. I can't say more on that because it's all embargoed and everything, as these things are. It's not on for a few weeks. But I'm sure, hopefully, I'll force you to review to watch
it. Yeah, that sounds good.
Just,
I really want to
just say
it.
Michaela Cole doing big emotions. Incredible.
Oh, I love Michaela Cole.
And finally, I've been re-watching The Leftovers. Do you remember we did review? Do you remember we reviewed season 3, episode 1 of The Leftovers?
Yeah.
Which you both like. You'd watched season 1, I think.
I watched season 1. Missed out 2.
Kay hadn't seen any of it. Was bewildered and furious that I'd forced you to watch this completely.
Sounds like me.
The Leftovers is that it was this HBO thing all about starring Ex Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, yeah.
Who's brilliant. And it's all about this thing happens on this date where 2% of the world's population disappear without any explanation. It's all about the aftermath of that, how people deal with it, bizarre religious sects that grow up. And now I thought I watched the whole of season 1, but I didn't, because when it first started,
season 1's good.
I was like, oh, I'm not sure if I like it that much. So I kind of went in and out of season 1. Now it's all on Sky box sets. It has been for a while, I think. But we reviewed the first episode of season 3, and I kind of dipped in and out of season 3. I think I said at the time it's one of the greatest things ever. It's now definitely officially, because I'm doing a whole rewatch. Because I knew that I hadn't really watched it every single episode, and it's 28 episodes, and you do have to watch every single episode, and it is unbelievably brilliant.
No, I might try it again, actually, then.
Try it again. It's incredible. That's all I'm saying. And it's very...
Right, maybe I will.
Because it's about religion and faith and religious sex and extremism and stuff. It's so...
Where do you say we can
religious
get
religious sex, Sky Box not sets. Sex? Because it sounded like you said religious sex.
Oh, and that. there's plenty of that.
Good old religious sex.
Yeah. And it's got an incredible cast and it's phenomenal.
Okay. It's a rewatch.
The Leftovers.
Now, you can't say anything about me bringing up films from 1986 now.
No. We'd never do that.
No.
What tweets and stuff have you got to talk
well,
about?
Well, now is time for the tweets before the meat.
Okay, there's a bit of a theme here, you'll soon see. First of all, let's start with Gertie Perkins 8, Gertrude Perkins.
Gertie
who says,
Perk.
Love the show as always, but a couple of corrections.
Oh, yeah.
The Spinnaker Tower is in Portsmouth, not Southampton.
Ooh.
B, Taskmaster is funny. Now, I did reply to this. Yeah.
Gertie.
I obviously said that was incorrect. But also, I thought I'd said, so this is, we talked about Love Your Garden last week, and I mentioned a woman, a 90-year-old called Betty, and said how she had abseiled down
Betty
the Spinnaker Tower. And I thought I'd said Portsmouth, because I knew it, and I'd written it down. But I think because I was having a rage blackout, because your rank disrespect to Betty, Steph particularly, I think I said Southampton by mistake. So I did apologize.
I did apologise.
and she said, she replied, and she said, understandable in the circumstances. Foosie them all. Hashtag go Betty.
Gertie Perk, she's really turned against us.
Foosie them all.
Taskmaster's not funny, Gertie.
And then we also had a reply from at Cedarmaster who said, I want to watch Love Your Garden now in the hope that Alan Titchmarsh builds Betty a 100-foot wall in her garden to abseil down. You should watch it. You definitely should watch it. You're definitely going to cry, Cedarmaster.
Now,
Cedarmaster's real name is Sean Gertie, which is a good name.
Gertie.
I like to just call them by their Twitter handle.
What about that person who didn't say anything nice about me last week? Did they not tweet? The person in New Zealand.
Not saying you're needy or anything, but.
But we asked him to tweet.
Yeah,
something nice about you.
He didn't get back
in touch. He said something nice about you. Something nice about you, and then you didn't say anything nice about me.
I think I probably just printed that out. I'll bring it next week.
But you definitely did say something nice about me. When you're in Guadalupe, if I don't get a tweet, I'm furious.
Was that tweets and stuff?
Yeah, that's all we had.
We should say at this stage, carry on tweeting us at the Amicables podcast.
Big announcement alert.
We have got quite a big announcement, which is that we're essentially going to reinvent this podcast quite soon, aren't we? I'm going to say within the next few weeks.
It's a reboot.
We're going to reboot. We're going to reimagine. And it's going to be called something else. It'll still be us three. It'll be the same old shit. But
I just don't think you should call it shit, but carry on.
Same old glorious stuff, but we're going to have a total new title, basically. We'll tell you what it is before it happens.
Mm. Well, we really should tell them what it is, otherwise they won't know where the hell
to go.
Yeah,
because you've got to search us, you're going to start following us again.
Yeah.
So, and also, great news, we're going to start the count for reviews again.
Here we go.
So,
yeah, bad news, guys, we can't take the reviews with us.
We wanted 100 reviews before a certain amount of time, and then we got a Pat Val cake. And we'll be beginning that whole thing again in a fresh new format.
No, I haven't agreed to this. We didn't discuss this. This wasn't on the agenda.
Well, that's what's going to happen.
Something's going to happen. Yeah. But yeah.
So yeah, keep an eye out for announcements.
And also get in touch if you do want to suggest any stuff, because we are looking at the format, aren't we? So if you have any,
idea for a new name for us.
DM us with ideas.
As I said last week, yeah, we're open to all suggestions, but we will obviously carry on doing the same thing.
Yeah. Belligerent dinosaur.
Oh, that's what you wanted permission to call me.
Yeah.
Was it this particular juncture?
No, I actually had called
you
it before.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
When?
I can't tell you now. Carry on.
What did she call you? A belligerent dinosaur.
Just a John Dan. It doesn't count.
Yeah, but you're a nice dinosaur, like a Diplodocus.
Oh, yeah.
The vegetarian ones, even though you're not vegetarian because you eat chicken. But they are.
Yes. Anyway, that is the main news. Moving on to the meat. First of all, people... It's 911, which is the American equivalent of 999. Did you know that, Steph? Aware of that?
I did know that.
Did you? Yeah. You know it from watching films and stuff?
I know it from watching films and stuff. Lived in America for a bit, so I knew that. And just my general knowledge.
Good. This is the new series from powerhouse showrunner Ryan Murphy of Glee, American Horror Story and American Crime Story fame. It is starting on the Sky Witness, which is the new title, slightly oddly, of Sky Living. It's
Why
been
is
Sky
it odd?
Living for well, because it's been Sky Living for decades.
Hold on. We've been the Unmissables for a year and a half. We're changing.
True. Oh,
that's a great point. Can I ask you a question? Is this a temporary rename or is this now for life?
I thought it was temporary. I think it's for life, but I haven't triple checked.
Okay.
They often like to do this rebranding of a channel, though, don't they? And then add a couple of
Sometimes, yeah. Sky Witness is one of the... No, it's true. Belligerent. It's not that often. It's been Sky Living for effing decades, as far as I can remember. Anyway, Sky Witness, I think you'll agree, is a slightly odd.
I like it.
Okay, good.
I think, do you know what I think is weird? Sky Living. That is weird.
Why?
Because it doesn't mean anything. Sky Living
John
is living.
It's literally shaking his head at your why would you like to describe as belligerent?
No. Sky Living is ridiculous. Sky Witness is actually a good name.
Yeah.
Well done. I mean, look, the proof's in the pudding. They've changed. Sky Living's gone. Sky Witness is the new thing.
Anyway, not to get caught up in the title of the channel, this show is called 911 and is on Sky Witness from next Wednesday, 15th of August. And it is Ryan Murphy's new show. And it's all about what they call in America, the first responders. So it's the firefighters. Mm. It's the ambulance people. It's the police.
The absolute heroes.
The absolute heroes. And you meet the specific people whose job it is to take these emergencies, from the woman who works at the call centre, played by Connie Britton of Nashville fame. She works in the 911 centre. She takes the calls. In fact, her role is pretty much getting, with her headphones on, getting these calls from members of the public about their emergencies and kind of reacting. Her whole thing is reacting to all these people. Yeah. And sometimes the examples are
ludicrous. She's got the hardest job.
She has got the hardest job, exactly. So, you know.
Has she? Yes, she has.
So the case will run the gamut from I'm being strangled by my pet snake, which is one of the emergencies dealt with, to my KFC is like being delivered.
Oh, yeah.
Which is an emergency, but still of a varying degree.
Yeah, indeed. We also meet Angela Bassett's character. Who is an LA police patrol sergeant who often kind of ends up being at the same scene of these incidents as the fire people. The firefighters are led by Peter Krause's character. There's a new young buck firefighter called Evan who is, which is what you're saying, having a right old jolly time using the fire thing, truck, to go and have dates with various women.
His hose is getting some action.
He's having some, you know, and you know how I feel about daytime sex.
I know.
I'm opposed to any sex.
I forgot how you felt about daytime sex.
Not in the daytime, that's nighttime activity.
That is the rule. And it's really a big, huge, slick, big budget, mainstream, fast-moving American drama series about all of these situations. What did you think of it, Kay?
I really liked it. I didn't think I would, but I think it's really, it's got everything, right? So it's got the drama and the jeopardy of the situations. It's got the domestic situation. So each of these first aiders has something major going on in their private lives, ranging from like marriage problems to, there's one guy who's got past addiction issues. So it's got all that. Plus you've got the you know, when like the workplace issues. But I have to say one thing I didn't like, so I really loved it. One thing I didn't like, or I found irritating at first and got used to, was Evan Buckley, played by Oliver Stark. So he is the
daytime sex boy.
Yeah.
He's incredibly cheesy. And I know he's meant to be like that because he's full of bravado and he's like, you know, he just saves people in any manner he thinks fit. And, you know, he's the rebel. Mm. But I just found it a bit much. However, because it's so slick and actually apart from that, the dialogue's really good, I was able to forgive it. But that's my only...
Ryan, his nickname is Firehose, and not just because he's a firefighter. Exactly. It is cheesy. I say embrace the cheese.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think you have to with
consume
these kinds of shows.
Consume and delight in the cheese. So it's like, it's kind of more... Because obviously, I think Ryan Murphy, if you think of the American Horror Story, American Crime Story side of his career, those things are incredibly... kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Deep, quite profound,
serious,
densely layered things, making points about society and all of that. Particularly the American Crime Story, less American Horror Story, it's more of a romp. I guess Glee was Kadett's cheesy elements. I mean, it was literally people singing songs. Kay loved it.
Hated
famously
it.
Liked. But I think this is the most mainstream thing he's done. Quite a little bit soapy, as you say, but because he gets the best writers and the cast is brilliant. You know?
The cast is amazing.
Incredible.
The cast is, it's very much a Shonda Rhimes cast. Did you ever watch, because Shonda Rhimes loves Peter Krause.
Yes.
And much to my horror, they cancelled The Catch,
which was
one of my most favourite Shonda Rhimes things. I don't know.
Really?
I loved The Catch. Which
we
had
didn't
Peter,
do very well, yeah.
I don't know why, it was such a good show. Mm. Anyway, they cancelled that, but now Peter Krause has got a new job, so it's fine.
Yep.
And I find him incredibly watchable.
Yes.
I could watch anything he does. I loved him from 6 Feet Under.
Brilliant.
He's amazing. But yeah, the thing about this is it's just so, these shows are so addictive.
Yeah.
They've just got, I don't know what it is, it's like that addictive quality. It's, you can't stop watching them.
I know. It's so addictive.
You can't put your finger on why it's so good and why you care so much.
Well, I think this, I mean, in this pilot, this is like one of the best. I gave it 5 stars spoiler alert, in when I previewed it in the magazine, just because I think, you know, it's like if you're going to come up with a pilot episode for a new series,
it's got everything
say,
in it.
It's got everything. Every character is interesting.
Oh, and Angela Bassett. Angela Bassett, she's fantastic, isn't she?
Exactly. And the fact that Connie Britton is there taking the bloody calls and just literally reacting to them either. Oh, that's terrible. And it is extraordinary.
Can I just say that?
You can just say however you like.
Can I just say? I don't want everyone to think that this is a massive, massive cheese fest. I'd liken this to is a sprinkling of Parmigiano Reggiano on the top. Yeah. It's a sprinkling. It's not a full Edam situation.
A little bit of mozzarella atop.
Teeny tiny bit atop
the tangy tomato sauce.
Yeah.
That's the main crux
it's
of
delicious
the story.
Is what it is.
And there's one storyline. So there's I mentioned the pet snake one, so they have to rescue this woman from her own pet snake, which is strangling her. The best one I thought was discovery of a baby. They think there's a baby crying in the wall of this guy, of this kind of like stoner dude's flat. Mm. And I won't spoil it, but how that plays out is pretty incredible. Mm. And I think you just watched it, didn't you?
I just watched that bit and I was stunned.
There's also humour, because you know that the Evan character, who's the young buck, when they come to the snake bit, he's just like, because he's so full of advice, he's like, oh God, why can't I just punch it in the head? I was like, that's a good line.
Yeah. It's incredibly entertaining, and as I've already exclusively revealed, given it 5 stars, so I have to give it 5 stars on the podcast.
Well, you've got to be consistent, otherwise people will call you names.
Yeah. I'm going to give it 4.5.
I'm going to give it 4.5 too.
Is that because you've only watched 16 minutes?
Well, I've only watched 16 minutes, so I feel like it would be wrong.
You can watch the full hour, including adverts, on Sky Witness next Wednesday, 15th of August at 9 o'clock, 9:11. Moving on. I think is the fourth series, should have checked, of Fake or Fortune.
The fourth?
Yeah, maybe wrong. Third?
I thought second.
Oh no, it's definitely more than two. Definitely third or fourth, yeah. It's slightly crept under the radar, because Fake or Fortune had a Sunday early evening slot, kind of like Antiques Roadshow-y, 6, 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock, I think. Right. But now it's gone prime time. It's 9 o'clock. From next Sunday.
Really?
Yes.
Doesn't feel like a 9 o'clock show.
Oh, 9 p.m.
Or does it? Steph, what the hell is Fake or Fortune?
Okay. Fake or Fortune. Lots of rich people have stuff in their house that they've paid a lot of money for, but they're not sure whether it's worth the money they paid for it or whether actually it's worth nothing at all. Cue Fiona Bruce, she off the Antiques Roadshow, which my mum went to the other day, and she stood behind Fiona Bruce so she could get on camera.
Oh.
Anyway, that's a little interlude.
Well, can you find out when that song, because we recommend it to the Pogs?
Yeah, it's the where was it? Rest Park they were at. Yeah,
we're going to keep an eye peeled for that.
Anyway, Fiona Bruce with her expert friend, Philip Mould. Am I saying his name right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Philip Mould, okay. Mould. And they together basically conduct almost a criminal, and then sometimes very much a criminal, investigation as to whether the artwork is or isn't fake or fortune.
Real.
That's the best description.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Think of the other opposite. Well,
real. Because you're confused with the title is Fake or Fortune, because it's alliterative. But in real life, you wouldn't say, is it fake or fortune? You go, is fake or is it real?
I know, I couldn't get
genuine
that. Your word. Version.
Genuine.
Anyway, it's...
Yeah.
Can I say what I thought of it?
It is like an art mystery series. Isn't it? It's
an investigative show.
And of course you can. Can you just say what you think of it? Yes, you can.
Right. So I started, and I will just say I've never watched this show before. And in the first sort of 3 minutes, I thought, oh Christ, £165,000 on some silly painting of a vase and two pears. You got more money than sense, love. I hope it is fake. That's
Lynn,
what I thought.
The real person who bought the painting. By this artist,
it's William Nicholson,
for that amount of money. Yes, carry on.
So I just thought, oh my God, life is too short to be watching these rich people who are flaunting their wealth in such a ridiculous way on a primetime show, is what I thought. And then I just became completely gripped. Because the way, like Fiona Bruce is incredibly watchable, and the journey that you go on is just like, the depths that they go to find out whether this thing is
the provenance.
Fake or not. The provenance.
The provenance.
I mean, it's just, it is addictive. And you can't stop watching it. But I would just like to say that the most annoying thing about this preview is you get to the end of the hour waiting for when they open the letter to find out whether it is real or fake. Don't know.
Cut off. We should make it clear. So what Steph is referring to here, listeners, is those of us who get to watch the BBC Previews website where they put up for TV critics like us.
Yeah.
forthcoming programs to watch. This we've all watched it, and then we got to the 59 minutes of it, and they cut off.
They think we can't, or anyone can be trusted,
they
which is fair enough.
Us. They don't trust us, journalists, to not keep secret the ending, the
it's
reveal.
It's like the Bake Off. I mean,
the
Bake Off as well.
They stopped doing a Bake Off, and they trusted people after a while to be able to keep secret who wins each.
But it's made me want to know even more.
Well, of course,
it's worse.
Now we have
desperate.
To wait. Oh, now we're going to wait
until
next bloody Sunday to find out whether it's but. Do you know
desperate.
What?
I tried to Google it.
Okay. Kay, what did you think?
Right, I completely agreed with Steph. When I first started watching this, I was like, no,
had you not seen it before?
No. And then, like you, similarly, I got hooked. My two favourite bits. One, Fiona talks to a reformed art forger called
so
John Meyer to find out if he's ever faked a Nicholson painting before, because then they'll be able to whittle down whether this really is a fake.
They
right?
meet in a little pub, don't they?
Yeah,
the
they meet in
a pub.
My favourite part about that is he's talking about it, and he said that, you know, there's quite a lot of 120 faked paintings of his out there in the world. But
he's done his time, people. He's done his time.
Yeah, he's reformed. He's done his time. But he won't say which ones they are. And she's like, you know, kind of like, why not? And he says, and I go, he thinks it would be immoral to reveal if they were fake paintings. I think maybe his moral compass is on the shonk.
I think it's right? on the shonk too.
I think it is, because that just cracked me up that he thinks it's immoral to say.
Well, because he thinks if you own a painting and you think it's real, he thinks it's immoral to
tell them at the late stage that it's fake.
Yeah,
but I just think it's flawed.
It's flawed.
Okay, anyway, but also my other favourite thing is, which made me laugh a lot, is these art experts and the way they talk. So there's one particular art expert talking about one of these paintings, and he goes, the light suffuses the painting and marinates it in this wonderful hue that brings everything together. Stuff like that is
very
funny.
A lot of it is a lot of guff, isn't it? But it is interesting guff.
Yeah, it's a little just a little bit, you know,
the word guff. Come on, Boyd.
Are you accusing Mouldy and Brucey and their collective experts they've gathered to solve this extraordinary case? Guff, definitely full of guff.
No, it's not guff. It's just the way they some of the experts talk about the painting. I found quite
but
amusing.
It's like, it's, oh my god, Boyd, it's like it's
you.
Life and death.
How dare you,
it
madam.
Is like life and death if this painting doesn't.
It's, I
mean, this woman,
you had a 165 grand painting that you didn't, you told it's not real.
When you're talking about something marinated in light, that's what I'm talking,
Boyd,
about.
Boyd, this woman has got so much money. Did you see her flat? I mean, that was another real plus for me, when you see the inside of her house. She's got loads of cash.
I'll just say, Lynn, if you're listening, this is Steph Seelan. If you want to tell her that you're fully within your right to
allegedly believe that she has a lot of cash.
You can live your life however you want, and you
gosh,
know, we all hope and pray that your painting is real, and we'll find out.
It's not going to hurt her that much
Sunday.
If it's not.
All right,
she'd be all right.
Anyway, we should say that the incredible thing this is a brilliant format. It's one of the
best
formats, you know, of recent years, factual formats. It must be so hard. I think this is the third or fourth series. And why I always think about it, I think the previous two series have been four episodes each, which is quite rare for a TV series. But it must be so hard, I always think, to find. Because not only have you got to find people like Lynn,
good
who have
Lynn.
These treasures, these or
does
artworks,
she?
Or are they? Or they don't, well, they don't know. So you have to find someone who has got a thing they don't know if it's real or not, or there must be some reason to doubt that it's
but
real.
But I think after a while, they probably don't have to go and search for them. People get in touch, right?
I'm about to say, of course people get in touch, yeah. But then the story has to be riveting enough to warrant this hour of TV. So it's like, because for example, there's one point. For example, as you said, when they get John Meyer involved, which is about halfway through this opening episode, the fake the forger, and she's going through the thing and says, did you paint this? If he said yes, then the show's over at that point. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of incredible. They have to, the way they put this thing together, it's a brilliant piece of factual programming.
You've alluded to the amount of times they say provenance,
which
they say a lot. One of the best bits is when they find out, I'm not going to tell you what it was, they find out that they are able to date this picture and find out where it had been before Lynn had it. And then there's a really interesting little tidbit about whose house that was, and then whose house it became. It's great.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we'd have to say it's George Michael's house. You mean that bit? That's fine. That's not a big mystery. That's just a little moment. Fiona Boo's just a little drop sitting in, a little
factual.
Yeah,
but it's exciting. You've ruined it now.
No, I don't think I've ruined anything. Okay. Fiona Bruce, they're a brilliant duo as well. Fiona Bruce and Freddie Bruce and Philip Mould are fantastic. It is a brilliant show, I'm sorry. And it's getting 5 stars from me.
I'm giving it 4 stars.
I'm going to give it 4.5.
Fake Your Fortune begins the new series, third, fourth, whatever, BBC One, Sunday the 12th of August at 9 p.m. New slot, everyone. 9 p.m. Finally. Jamie Oliver cooks Italy. What can this be about?
It's so simple.
Kay is going to unveil the mystery.
I can do it in one line.
Enigmatic show.
Yeah. Jamie Oliver and his mate slash mentor, Gennaro Contaldo, what a fantastic name, basically go around Italy and go and check out all the nonnas, all the Italian families and get their recipes. I should say which island? From the Aeolian Islands?
Yeah. Aeolian Islands.
Aeolian Islands. Aeolian Islands.
Yeah, and so they go around and, for example, there's a 93-year-old caper farmer called Francina who teaches Jamie how to make stuffed squid, and also he cooks a delicious Sunday lunch with the matriarch, one of the oldest families on the island, and she cooks, I think, a nice chicken and aubergine pot roast. And that is it.
It's a half an hour tour. A lot of shots of Jamie on his Vespa, isn't it? Going round to various nonna's houses.
The two words that cropped up a lot in this opening.
Nonna.
Nonna. Nonna and caper.
Yes,
there
caper.
There were a lot of capers.
There's a caper fest. Do
you know, I mean, how many effing capers does anyone
my
need?
Absolute favourite thing about this show is, you know when you go abroad but you and you sort of adopt the kind of accent of the place but you still continue to speak English?
Yeah.
So that is my favourite thing, yeah, that Jamie does in this.
Although
he goes,
can I?
He does speak a bit. He speaks a bit of Italian, but he goes, can I have some of these? Like, and that is my number one favourite thing about what happens to English people when they go abroad.
He does have a kind of mock Italian. Italian.
Easy to okay. He does things he
Jambo
does.
Oliver.
It's hilarious.
It is funny. It is funny. And the amount of times he thinks he has to say nonna
I
and
know.
Kiss these poor women's foreheads.
Oh,
what have they done
no.
to deserve?
No, they.
I
don't
know.
Be
they're all sort of bent over
now,
as well.
My
just
serious
listen.
Question.
They like him. They like him.
I know, I'm joking.
Have we had enough of Jamie?
Well,
no, my
answer's serious
no.
question. Jamie Oliver, a lot of people hate him. He gets so much hate. On this week, only this week on Twitter, I noticed someone tweeted I think it must be from this book. So there's obviously a new book of him cooking in Italy as well. And in the inside page, there's a list of his kids. And he dedicates the book to his kids. And there's all you know, they've all got funny names, like Poppy, Doofus, Honey, Kitten. That's
yeah.
Jonathan Ross's kids. But anyway, they've all got interesting, unusual names. And people have been relentlessly taking the pee out of the way he's named his kids and slagging him off.
Oh, that's a no-no.
People
no.
slag him off all the time.
Oh,
I,
no.
Now, I...
It's just tall poppy syndrome.
Right.
No, that's
so,
not nice.
I think. Because
think
and
any...
also, there's so many things to take the piss out of him for. His children have done the least of it.
No, that's my question. So,
but they are.
No, they're not taking the piss out of the children. They're taking the piss out of him for naming them that. And they're saying, you know, oh, you know...
Yeah, but that's
you,
still
you...
bringing the kids
I
in.
I agree.
I'm not down with that.
But my question is... So you're saying, you're agreeing there are loads of things to take the piss out of him for. Do you find, is it valid to find him that irritating and be that annoyed about him?
I think some people find him annoying. I personally don't find him annoying. And I mean, I think the measure of a great cookery show is if you're watching it and you're salivating and it makes you feel hungry. And absolutely, that is what this show does. And I really like his relentless enthusiasm about things. And also, I like the fact that he's deferring to people. He doesn't, these people know better than him in so many ways. These people have been cooking for 50 years. They use, you know, all local produce and stuff. And I really enjoy that about him. I think, look, love him or hate him, he's a good old chef and he does make some lovely dishes.
It would have been awkward, wouldn't it, Kay, if he'd have started telling 93-year-old caper farmer...
Who's been cooking for 80
Francina,
years.
Francina, who's been cooking for 80 years, let's
yeah.
be clear,
oh,
what
yeah.
to do, how to sew up her stuffed
order.
Squid.
The word I'd use about this is seductive. The backdrop.
Ooh,
yeah, no,
a very
I, honestly,
saucy word.
No, but like the backdrop, the food, like the way he talks about the food. And,
yeah.
Jamie
and
Oliver.
It, and it's not, not even that. But he doesn't talk about food in the way that, you know, Nigella does. Like trying to be, it's just like he's so passionate about it that he makes you enthusiastic about it.
Yeah.
So I actually really
love
this.
I do enjoy
this.
The scenery as well, though.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And it's a kind of a little bit of a history lesson as well.
It's got it all.
Yes, it's give not him a one, break, guys.
It's not one for vegetarians, though, is it? I mean,
that's the only
you
thing
do
I
have
would
to,
say.
The rabbit.
Capers
really,
don't have meat in it.
That was the only thing I said. I did nearly have to stop watching it when they said they were going to cook
rabbit
because I love bunnies or runny
rabbits, no
as
needs,
they should be called.
No one needs rabbit.
Nobody wants to eat
and
runny
he's like,
rabbits.
And he's practically an evangelist for eating rabbits as well.
Yeah, he's like
mean,
saying, a lot of people don't know about a rabbit, but it's just like chicken. That
oh
I'm
my god,
down
also
with.
Everyone's saying everything tastes like chicken needs to stop. But anyway,
not everything tastes like chicken. But as I said, the best thing about it is when he does English with a slightly Italian accent, which is hilarious.
Sorry.
Can I help you with these?
I don't know.
Can
what
I
that
take
is.
One? That's what he
he's turned into.
Are you sure you're not listening to Gennaro Contaldo, who
no,
is actually Italian?
No, watch out for it. It's my favourite thing.
Jamie cooks Italy. How many stars, Steph?
Four and a half.
She's giving it half.
3.5.
Ooh, Snooty McGoots.
Are you one of those people that tweet those bad stuff about him?
Yeah. Leave his kids alone.
It's like the Pink Floyd's the wall.
Leave his kids alone.
Now, I'm nothing against him, but it was a little bit, I don't know, the rabbit stuff.
But that's about rabbit.
I don't want to see rabbit.
No, little, skinned rabbits. Yeah. Little poor little thumper.
Anyway.
He's happy to eat chicken though.
That's the meat is over. We've finished out literally the rabbit meat of the podcast. And it's time. It's that time. What time
it's
is it?
It's question time.
We need to get slicker with that. 70 episodes.
Yeah, it's not very slick. In honour of the Jamie cooking Italy, what is your favourite Italian film or TV thing? Steph.
Oh. My name is
she
Steph.
She put her hand up just for anyone.
My name is Steph, and my favourite Italian film is Only You. Which
I thought you'd say Only Fools and Horses.
I was not. Only You, which is an incredible film starring the great Marissa Tomei, or Tomei, however you say that, and Robert Downey Jr. And it is set in Tuscany, Poggibonsi. If you have not watched this film, it's absolutely fan-bloody-tastic. Marissa Tomei is told that she is going to... The man of her dreams has a very specific name, and Robert Downey Jr. pretends that that is his name because he's fallen in love with her, follows her to Italy, and the romantic craziness that ensues is just everything. It is absolutely brilliant.
Didn't I recommend My Cousin Vinny the other week with Marissa?
You did.
Oh, yeah, fine. Good.
We're having a real Marissa Tomei off, aren't we?
Yeah, Tomei Fest.
But it's wonderful. The whole filming of it is beautiful settings, and you won't get a better duo than Marissa Tomei and Robert Downey Jr. And that's why they reunited them in Spider-Man Homecoming. Good. Spider-Man Homecoming. Yes, I said it.
Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Spider-Man. Does whatever a Spider-Man can. Kay. What Italian thing are you choosing?
Right, my Italian-based choice is Roman Holiday.
Oh, of course.
Yes. Of course. I was so classic. Happy when you asked this question. Yeah. The best Audrey Hepburn film, as you know. Audrey Hepburn plays the young princess on her royal tour, who is followed by Gregory Peck as a journalist, who is reporting on her, and they have a little adventure together.
A romance, maybe.
I don't want to spoil it, Boyd, if you haven't seen it. It's just a holiday.
Boyd, what's your favourite Italian thing? Don't say the Italian job.
No.
Okay.
Don't be silly. The trip to Italy.
Oh, of course.
Yes. Brighton.
Yeah.
Coogan.
It's the dream.
Impressions.
Yeah.
Italian vistas. Spectacular.
Can I just tell you, my granddad only just found out that that is not real. My mum phoned me and she went, you will never believe what your granddad's just said
Italy?
To me.
Italy's real.
No, but she said, you'll never believe what your granddad's just said to me. And I said, what did granddad just say? And she said, we were watching the trip to Spain or something.
It was the next one.
She said, he thinks the trip to Spain is a documentary. I was like, no, it's not a documentary. Brilliant. He's only just found out.
That's good.
I think lots of people are in that
boat. So he thinks when they're bickering about stuff.
And, I mean, he's nearly 90. Okay, bless him.
Enough. Bless him. It's my favourite of the trip. There's three trips. There's a trip to Italy, a trip to Spain, a trip to Italy, the middle one. I think it's probably still the best, even though when I was writing about the trip to Spain, I said that one's the best.
Oh, can't be trusted you.
Yeah. Just a flip-flop.
It's the flip-flop. Anyway, I think that concludes what has been the 70th episode.
Platinum.
Of the Unmissables podcast, soon to be renamed and reimagined and rebooted.
You can be involved in that,
keep
people.
Keep an eye, open.
Keep an eye open.
But we will be back next week.
We will.
Are we? Yeah, no, you won't. Kay's off in Guadalupe.
Guadalupe!
I'm off.
On a jolly up
John's
Guadalupe.
In. So you'll probably get some really great podcast shouts.
Well, we definitely. It's a goodbye from me.
It's a goodbye from me.
It's a goodbye from me.
See you next week.